Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Our teaching this Wednesday is a Bible lesson on Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible and is unique due to its distinct focus on glorifying God and His Word by referring to Scripture over and over again. In today's teaching, Bishop Dag will share wisdom on why you must obey the Word of God. You will pick up practical keys on how you can be helped to obey God's word by following His direct commandments found in the Scriptures. Listen to today's word and be blessed.
I see a dark cloud coming my way. It's gonna try to rain on me. They're almost here, but I can't say. I'm just as happy as can be. Oh, just because I've got Jesus. Thank you.
You started.
love what you're doing in me. Oh yes, I love what you're doing in me. So finish what you started in me. I like what I see. Finish what you started in me, Lord. I love what you're doing in me.
Thank you for what you have started in our lives. We pray that you finish what you started in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and turn with me to Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, but I'm just going to share between 6 to 9 points about Psalm 119. About what God must do so that you may be able to obey His word. Amen. How many have noticed that some people are not able to obey the word? How many have noticed that you are not able to obey the word sometimes? How many realize that there are some things you are more able to obey than others? Is it not true? And how many know that when it comes to certain things, you need more grace How many sometimes realize that you actually disobey God and pray immediately? Hey. So, when I read this psalm, I realized that obeying the word of God takes more than we may think it takes. Amen. And I personally believe in predestination. Predestination means you believe that things are meant to happen a certain way, whether or not human beings do certain things. I believe in that. I believe in predestination. Even when we fall into sin and into crisis, into problems, even into death, I believe that there is nothing that happens by chance. And that God has already determined. And when you read the Bible, you find out that things are determined. It has been determined. And so sometimes we just come into life and meet something that has been determined. And we are so worried about it. But not knowing that there are powers. Can I have some help in the front so that I don't have to shout? That there are powers that are at work that you came to meet. It's mystical because what happens is that when you believe in predestination, you somehow want to leave everything to God. It's like there's nothing that you have to do. But you see, even when you decide to leave it to God, in that sense of abandonment. That one too has been predetermined. So, it would be better to rise up and work hard. Do you get it? When you decide to be foolish because it has been predetermined, that one, that foolishness, has also been determined. So, you must do your best in all things. Amen. But one of the strongest proponents of predestination was a man called John Calvin. He really believed in predestination. And he taught something to the effect that if 100 people hear the word of God, about 30 of them will not listen at all. Another 30 would listen and not really do much about it. And another, is it 20? 20 would not, would even bother, they wouldn't even think twice about it. They would reject it. Another 20 would listen, or 25 would listen, but they wouldn't do much. Another 25 would try to do something. And it would only be a small fraction who actually take what you are saying and actually really do it. You know, and because of this analysis, he came up with the theory of predestination, that you are determined whether you will be saved or not. That attitude. Because if you take 100 people and you preach, you always have the same response in terms of the numbers of people that listen. And it's true. If you look even among your brothers and sisters, you find out that some out of your brothers, somebody will give his life to Christ. Another person, you explain to him the word of God. He doesn't even. Okay, you ask him, are you not afraid? Like I told one millionaire, I said to him one day, I said, what about if you die and there is hell and you descend into fire, into flames? And he told me as he sat in his millionaire chair, he said, I'll take my chances. That's what he said. But you talk to somebody else and the person will be afraid. He's afraid of God. You see, that is why Calvin came up with this theory. You see, that it's like you are determined, destined to go to hell. And this one is destined to go to heaven. That is why he listens. Do you see? And he said also that you have to still preach the gospel even though it's predestined, because it's by preaching that people are saved. So you still have to preach so that those who will be saved by the preaching. That's why we still preach. But I feel that some people some of us find it very difficult to obey the Lord. And I think that obeying God is by grace. There are people who tell me, oh, Bishop, so how does it feel to have sacrificed whatever, medical, whatever? Frankly, the very honest truth is that I don't feel that I've sacrificed anything great. Do you understand? Or you don't understand? Because I didn't see it as a great thing. First of all, I didn't even want to be a doctor. Then when I became a doctor, I didn't find it to be a great profession or job. I mean, a great job is a very noble profession, and I'm glad I'm a doctor. But when I was posted to the mortuary and I had to work at Kolebu, I didn't think working at Kolebu was any great experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm very glad I'm a doctor, but it helps me in other ways than just the what a profession of being a doctor. No, that is it was not much of that, you know. And I would say that I was happy to work for God. To me, it has always been an adventure. Working for God is something exciting. The other day I met somebody. I said, what are you doing now? The person has finished school. The person mentioned a certain company that the person was working at. And what struck me was that, what a boring life. That's what occurred to me, that what a boring life. Do you understand? For me, my life is exciting. And I'm always in the midst of some kind of trouble, problem, crisis. I'm fighting something, killing something, doing something new. Every aspect of my intelligence and grace that has been given on me is used all the time. I have gone into areas, things that, I mean, I would never have entered into such fields if it had not been for working for the Lord. So for me, I think I'm excited. I've been to so many places because of the Lord and the work that He has given to me. I've seen so many things, so many faces. My mother once asked me, one time something had happened, somebody, and I said, how do I know so many people with so many troubles? And so I said, look, it's the work that we do. We know so many people. You know, we know so many people, so many situations. Do you understand? It's a completely different kind of life. You get it? There's nothing like I've closed. If I go home right now and I get any type of call or whatever, I may have to organize myself. The other day I arrived home, I was just about to set, and I had a call straight away. I was up in the move at 1 a.m. moving through Accra because there was a situation somewhere. So it's not a boring life at all. Do you understand? It's something exciting. So I don't see that I've sacrificed something to come and work for the Lord. I rather feel I've been promoted. Yeah. The other day I was eating, having lunch, and here was the president sitting by me. He was sitting there once I was having lunch. I'm not telling you which particular president. A president. Right? It was sitting there, not because I was a medical doctor, but it's because of my pastoral work. I've been to so many places. I always thank God. The other day, I was playing golf, and I was with a pastor and who is not in our church, and I prayed. I always pray before I play golf. When we are just about to start, we pray. Then he said to me, you know, I was in... one this country, and I played with some of your pastors. They were also playing golf. I went to another country. I was playing with another set of your pastors. They were also playing golf, and I was with another country. And he said, all of them, before they play, they pray. So he said, why do you do that? And I said, to me, I didn't know that they all pray. You know, we have something, I'm going to have a camp called Association, Influence, and Environment. But... there's a certain something that affects you by association, influence, and environment. But I didn't know that they always pray. But to me, I would not have played golf if I was not a pastor. I don't know what would take me to a golf course. Yes, in my normal life, my father never told me to play. I don't know anybody who plays in my life. You know, to me, it's a great blessing. It's an honor. It's not something I would have seen in my normal life. And I'm sure Bishop Zaki would also say the same. Yes. There's nothing that would have made me do that. So I'm very grateful to God. And I know the benefit that it has to me. Do you get it? So I'm grateful. In fact, becoming a Christian and serving God. Hey, the other day I was in Korea, you know. The wall of the hotel is made of glass. It's not concrete. I said, the wall is glass. And I was looking out over Seoul, Korea. And I asked myself, and somebody told me when I was going to Seoul, Korea, that when you look out, look for red crosses with light in it. It means that that is a church which is having a service at that very time. A cross which is red and light is in it. And when the light is on, it means the church, the service. When the light is off, the service is over. Yeah. So I was looking and I saw all the red crosses all over the city. I said, wow, what a blessing. I was in Jerusalem walking. The whole country is made up of some ash scarlet stone. And here was I walking, going here. They said King David was buried here. I said, hey. Jesus came here. Jesus was born here. I went under a small room. They said he was born in this room. I said, really? If it was not for Christ, I would not have gone to all these places. Because I went to Jerusalem to invite Yongicho to come to Ghana. That was why I went. I didn't go there for a holiday. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. And so many places that I've been to, so many cities I've read about, I heard about, watched in the news. But there was I preaching the word of God there. So brothers and sisters, to me it has been exciting. It's been a blessing to serve the Lord. So sacrifice, honestly, it's been, not that it's easy. There are a lot of issues, but that is not being that I feel like I'm about to die. No. I feel I'm about to climb a mountain, which is different from dying. Amen. It's different. To climb a mountain is different from dying. Amen. So I will encourage you to pray for the grace to obey God. Now, I have found out something that I find easy to do. I realize that the person sitting next to me cannot do it. And I've asked myself, why? But when I read Psalm 119, I began to understand why a lot of people are not able to obey something that is clear until they are sometimes very old and they will say to you, you were right. One day, a certain pastor asked me something. He read something in my book about some pastors who had written about me that I was a cult leader, people that were my pastors and so on. And I said, so he asked me, how do you feel when you read? I said, I don't feel anything at all. I don't feel anything at all. At all. I don't feel sad at all. I said, the feeling that I have is sadness for those people, because the end of such things is not good. And I said that when it happens, or when things begin to twist, what the problem is that I feel sorry for the people and I am not able to reverse it. That's my problem. But not that if somebody says I'm a cult leader, what should I say? God should forgive me for anything wrong that I'm doing. God should forgive me. If I'm doing something wrong, I'm a cult leader, I'm sorry. And I'm going to try and work on myself so that any cult-like characteristic about my life will go away. That's all. What do you think? Yeah. But my problem is that when such people now begin to enter into certain thorny areas, I rather feel sorry for them. Do you understand? And I do not like that thing to say in myself that I was right. You see now. No, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it at all. I don't want to see that thing with any of my children. You see, I told you, your life is destroyed. Now, you see, I was right. And so what? You are right, and so what? I don't want to be right. I don't want all those to believe and see something bad is happening and complex things are happening to people. I do not want it. That is what worries me. So my concern, as I have watched people over the years, is that I can see that some are not able. In fact, some people cannot even be loyal. You look at them, you see that. I don't know what it is. They don't understand it at all. They don't even understand it. And it looks like they are programmed for a certain kind of destruction. So when I read Psalm 119, God spoke to me and he said, you see why people are not able to obey. So the first thing that has to happen so that you obey the word of God is found in Psalm 119 and verse 5. And there are only about six There are actually nine, but I'm going to give you six, some of them. All right. The first one is Psalm 119 and verse 5. What does it say? Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Amen. That my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Amen. You see, when your ways are established, there are many statutes that you are able to keep more than somebody who is not established. Do you get it? That is why we don't like poor people to count the church's money. We want somebody whose ways are established so that he may keep the statutes of the Lord that thou shalt not steal. It is true. Yeah. So if you have a church and you put somebody who is poor to count the money, oh, that my ways may be established, that I may keep your statutes. So if you look at people whose lives are established, you may sometimes find out that because the person's life is a little established, there are certain statutes or laws or commandments of God which he doesn't struggle with. It's true. It's a fact. Because he's established. And if the person was a hustler, you get it? If the person was a hustler, the person wouldn't sell 40 CDs and tell you that he sold 30. If the person was a hustler, selling 30 CDs, 40 CDs and saying, I sold 30, so that he can keep the balance of the 10 and say that the 10 are lost. That thing will happen to a hustler, but it will not happen to somebody whose ways are established. So in certain cases, people are able to keep, in certain cases, I'm not saying, oh, but I'm going to give you more points. In certain cases, being established takes away the need to commit certain sins. If you are married to your beloved, you will not be under the temptation to have sex with your beloved because you are an established married man or woman. It's true. So as you look at the person, even your temptation is gone. Even the desire, also may go. Sometimes when they are taking taxi, they go together. Temptation and desire. They take taxi and they go to town together. So you are there without even desire. Hey! Because temptation and desire have taken dropping and they've gone to town. So, pray to God. Establish me, Lord, that I may keep your statutes. Pray. Pray to God that he will establish you so that you can keep his statutes. Amen. Amen. Number 2, verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Deal bountifully that I may live and keep thy word. Deal what? Bounty. In other words, God is dealing with you with much grace. That is why you have been able to live and been able to keep his word, whereas your brother has not been able to keep the word of God. Yes. You see, and this should make us have compassion on people who are not able to keep the word. Because sometimes the way God has dealt bountifully with you and has even kept you away from certain people and has kept certain people away from your life and has dealt bountifully and maybe gave you certain kinds of parents or certain type of friends he has dealt bountifully with you, which has enabled you to live and keep your word. Keep his word. Amen. Sometimes you see people, it's not, I'm not saying that it's right for them to do things, but if you know this, so that you understand, some people, God has not dealt that bountifully with them, and that is why there are certain things that they have been into. Yes. Sometimes you see a pretty little girl, and you think God has dealt bountifully with her. But sometimes the ugly duckling may be the one with whom God is dealing bountifully by making her an ugly duckling before she is able to do her hair. So that wicked people will not come and lie to her. Yes, and perhaps that is the bountiful dealings of the Lord. Yes. And you see, many times when you see people obeying God, God has dealt bountifully with them. That is why we must not look down on somebody who is not able to do what you are doing. You understand? Maybe you are seeing someone say, "But why? Straighten out your life. Have you not heard the word? Did you not hear the word? The word was preached. You didn't hear the word? Come on. We have all heard this same word. We have all stopped doing all these kind of things. Hey. Chale. Maybe God has dealt bountifully with you. That is why today you are able to keep certain commandments of the Lord. Because he has dealt graciously with you. Perhaps you are no more a thief because he has dealt bountifully with you. But if he had not dealt bountifully with you, you may be the wildest crook in the system. Lift your hand and say, Lord, deal bountifully with me that I may keep thy word. Amen. So the first one is what? My ways should be established. Everybody say, oh, that my ways may be established. To keep your statutes. Then another one said, deal bountifully with your servants. Amen. Now, the next one, verse 32. So, verse 32 says, I shall run the way of your commandment, for you will enlarge my heart. I will run the way of your commandment, for or because you will enlarge my heart. You see, some people are able to keep the commandments of God because God has enlarged their heart. Lift your hand and say, oh Lord, enlarge my heart that I may keep your commandments. Yeah, he said, I will run the way of your commandment, for you have enlarged my heart. You see, that's why we lay hands on people. We are going to be having a lot of lay hands on services. There is a time when we have to stop preaching and just pray for you, so that God will enlarge your heart, so that you can keep the commandment that we are preaching from the Bible. Because some of us, God hasn't touched our hearts. But when he touches your heart, you will run the way of his commandment, because he has made your heart wider, bigger, so that you are able to accommodate certain commandments of the Lord. Yeah. And sometimes you see somebody who is resistant, disobedient, rebellious to the word of God. Often, God has not touched his heart. That is why we are supposed to pray for people, not just preach to them or talk to them. Sometimes leave them or even show them the way to hell and see if they would like to go. God has to touch the heart. He said, I will run the way of your command because you have enlarged my heart. That's why I cannot look down on anybody who is not able to do what I am able to do. Because I believe that God has dealt bountifully with me. God has enlarged my heart to be able to even keep the commandment. Sometimes you see somebody, he's able to do this, but when it gets to this, the heart is not wide enough. That's why when you are building a house, you have to build a big door for the entrance. Otherwise, you cannot bring in certain tables. Oh Lord, enlarge So that certain bigger tables that the Lord has desired to bring in can come in. Tell your neighbor, oh Lord, enlarge my heart that I may keep your commandments. Hey, Psalm 119, number 4. Verse 34. This is a very powerful psalm. It is showing us why people are able to keep the commandment of God. It says, give me understanding. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Give me understanding. Understanding. Give me understanding. Help me to understand what you are saying so that I can keep your law with all my heart. That's why we preach 30 reasons why this, 20 reasons why this, 6 reasons why this. We are trying to bring understanding so that they understand why. And the more they understand why, the more they can keep it. Because if you know that when I put my hand here, there is a snake called a cobra. And that snake, when it bites you, you will stop breathing within 20 minutes. You will not want to put your hand there. You have to see. Give me understanding that I may keep your commandment with all my heart. That's why I preach 55 reasons why we must be soul winners. I had a camp, 120 reasons why you must be soul winners. Understanding. Understanding. Give me understanding. These are all different things that God does. He can deal bountifully with you. It will help you to obey him. He can enlarge your heart. It will help you to obey him. He can establish your way. It will help you to obey him. He can also give you understanding. And it will help you to keep the ways and the word of God. Tell somebody, Psalm 119 is a powerful psalm. And the same verse is found in Psalm 119, verse 73 as well. The same verse. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Number 5. Before I was... This is verse 67. So the first point is, when God establishes you, you will obey his word. When God deals bountifully with you, you will be able to obey his word. Number 3, when God enlarges your heart, you will be able to obey his word. And number 4, when God gives you understanding, you will be able to obey his word. Then the next one, when God allows affliction and trouble, you will be able to obey his word. Trouble. Trouble. This one is not as palatable. It is found in Psalm 119, verse 67. What does it say? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've been afflicted, I keep your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've had the troubles, I keep your word. Siniazo. Trouble. Trouble has made me love God. Hey. Look, that's why people criticize us in the church and they ask, what problem do you have that you are going to church all the time? What trouble do you have in your life? What type of problem do you have? You must have some kind of problem or crisis in your life that makes you go for prayer meeting all the time. And you see, what the people are saying, they are laughing at us, but in a sense it is true. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I've learned your word. And the 71 says the same thing. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Psalm 119. Verse 71, it is good for me. I am not the one creating these verses. So the verses are there already. It is good for me. And so sometimes you see somebody, realize he is not obeying the word. He hasn't had any trouble in his life yet. So sometimes we have to pray, Lord, send a bad wind, a a bad wind to blow in his life. Yes. And when a bad wind blows in the person's life, you will see how the person will become humble. Do you know what is a bad wind? Eh? I don't mean smelly air. I mean a wind that brings trouble of different types. It's a bad wind. It's a bad wind. It makes the waters rise. It makes the waters try to drown you. It will cause you to be surrounded. You yourself will start praying. Oh Lord, I am surrounded. I am surrounded. And you will start to call on God for his help and his mercy. That is why it is good for you to find God early and don't wait for a certain crisis to enter your life. But after the crisis has come, you yourself will say, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may keep your commandments. It is good for me. It is good for me. It is good for me. It has helped me to serve you. It is good for me. 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 Charlie, why don't you find through the Bible and see the areas that you are not obeying so that a certain affliction, because you may be sitting there thinking that God is just going to enlarge your heart, but maybe it is through the affliction that the heart will become broader. You may think that it is God is going to deal bountifully with you, and maybe this is how God will deal bountifully with you. This will be his grace to you. It is good for me. It is good for me. Hey, how many things do you have that help you to obey the word of God? How many can understand why some people hear the word and they are not able to obey it? They haven't seen certain troubles. Troubles. Hey. When the Bible says, judge not. Judge not. Some of us are not able to obey that word. When we see certain nonsense, we start to talk and say, I mean, how? We start to just, sort them out. How? You, why? Come on, straighten your life. When the Bible says, don't judge you. But you have not understood it yet. An affliction is coming. After that affliction passes, your main proverb in life will be, when you see your friend's beard on fire, go and fetch water and put it by your side so that when yours catches fire, then you use it to put it out. But if you haven't seen trouble before, when you see somebody's beard burning, you ask yourself that, are you sleeping? Are you mad? How can your fire, your beard be on fire? Maybe the house or something in the house can be on fire, but your beard, are you sleeping? Are you mad? Are you depressed? What is wrong with you? But after your affliction, you ask, can you not see the fire? Can you not smell the smoke? Are you a fool? But after your affliction, when you see somebody's beard on fire, not, you immediately go, I'm going to fetch water. Because I've seen one before. Aye! You may not know how. You may not know where or when or from which angle yours will become scrambled like this. Number six. When God revives you with his loving kindness, you will be able to obey his word. And that is found in verse 88. When God revives you with his loving kindness, you'll be able to obey his word. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. When God revives you, hallelujah. When God revives you with his loving kindness, may God show kindness to you. May he revive your life. You see, when you are tired, and old. There are some sins that you may not have bothered with earlier. You know, just as when you are young, there are some problems that come. When you are no more young, there are also those problems that came when you were young, they go, but other ones can come. Charlie, there is no rest. So that's why when we die, they write, rest in peace. Because Solomon didn't fall into sin till he was old. When he was old, then his wives took his heart away. But when he was young, he didn't get into any of those troubles. There's no rest for the grasshopper. Number 7. When you restrain your feet from evil, you will be able to keep his word. Psalm 119 verse 101. And it says, I have restrained my feet from every evil that I may keep your word. You know, sin leads to sin. Evil leads to more evil. So when you start one evil, it leads to another evil and another evil and another evil. So he says, I have restrained my feet from evil that I may keep your word. If you start drinking, do you get it? It can lead to smoking. And if you start smoking, it can lead to smoking, what do you call this thing? Without filter. Tosca for men. And when you start smoking Tosca for men, you can start smoking weed. Because marijuana is easily available. You can smell it. Everybody should know the smell of marijuana so that when you smell, you know that these people are smoking weed. I know the smell of marijuana. Yes. You can smell it. Because you started. But if you restrain yourself from smoking, you'll not even come to smoking Tosca for men before you start smoking marijuana. If you don't drink at all, you know, you don't drink at all, then it will keep you from trying Guinness for vitamins. So you are taking some Guinness for vitamins. Hey! For blood. You are taking it to get blood. He said, I have restrained my foot from evil. That what? I may keep your word. If you start playing around with sex, before you realize, you'll be having sex. And when you are having sex, before you realize, I remember one guy came to me, he said, you know, I've had more than 200 girlfriends, but none of them satisfy. So I'm looking for a man. You see, if he hadn't gone through at 200 girls to discover that there is nothing new. You know, there are some reasons why there's futility in the world. And one of the reasons why there's futility in the world is that there is nothing new under the sun. So you keep getting disappointed that it's not new. There is nothing new. It's all the same. So you get disappointed. Now you are going to become a homosexual. And after homosexual, I don't know what is the next rank. Huh? Animal. Moving to animals. Okay. And the last point. When God saves you, you will be able to obey his word. I cried with all my heart in verse 145, Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. Then he goes on, he says, I cried with all my heart. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. Charlie, some of the obediences that you have been able to obey God, it is God who saved you. It's not that you were obeying anything. He saved you, and then you were able to obey his command. So when you come up with now 3 principles why I am never able to fall into certain sins, and these are my seven steps, and so on. Chale, when you see the Bible, you see that it says, I have saved you. Save me that I may keep your command. Save me. Answer my prayer. It is the help of God and the saving. You know, when Abimelech went for Sarah, he was going to sleep with her, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, Charlie, this woman is somebody's wife. He had a running stomach within the dream. And he said, it's a serious holy man of God's wife. So be careful. So the Lord said to him, I have restrained you from touching her. You see, the fact that you didn't do it, it's not your steps and your principles. I save you. God said, I save you that you may keep his testimony. So you come out with your seven principles for keeping certain testimonies. No. It was God who saved you. He said, I kept you from touching her. Shanda Shabalaba Sumukabala. May the Lord save you in the days to come and in the years to come. And may he help you. May his grace find you. May he deal bountifully with you. May he enlarge your heart. May he establish you, that you may be far from stealing and other sins of unestablished people. May God send affliction to your life, that you may keep his commandment and walk in his ways. May Jehovah deal with you with loving kindness and mercies, that you may be able to keep his word. May he revive you according to his loving kindness. May he save you according to his power. And may he establish you according to his word. Lay your hand on your heart right now. Father, thank you for your blessing to keep your holy word. Oh, what a blessing it is. We thank you, Lord, for this great help. We didn't know why, Lord, sometimes we are not able to keep your word. But Lord, today we have realized that except you deal bountifully with us and enlarge our hearts, oh God, and revive us according to your loving kindness, there are so many commandments that we cannot even keep. We thank you that you touch our heart and enlarge our heart, that certain things may find a place in our heart, that we may be able to keep your word and obey your word. We thank you. Lift your hand and just thank God this evening for his holy and mighty word in our lives. Pambele sumba karmalasha. Mandolo bolobo sibele mere. Mandolo bo sibalama. May God restrain your feet from evil, that you may not find yourself into more evil. Father, we thank you so much for your blessing and your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus, lift your right hand up. I'm going to pray with you. Pastor, I want to give my heart and my life to God. I want Jesus to come into my life and save me and make me a new person. I want Jesus to save me. If you are here like that, lift your hand. God bless you. Lift it up. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lord God, touch your heart tonight. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come. Just come. Walk from where you are. Come from where you are. Come. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just stand here. I'm going to pray with you. Stand right here. Somebody else lifted your hand. Come quickly. Bless you. Stand right here. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Say, oh Lord, I am a sinner. But today, I give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Oh God, come into my heart. Make me a new person. Oh Jesus, I know I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Change my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me tonight. I love you, Jesus. And I will always serve you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.